The reason behind the madness is that I think there's some valuable life lessons for not only Lent, but for all of life in the limbo. And here's the life lesson that we're drawing from it, okay? The more stiff and stubborn you are in the limbo, the less far you're going to get in the ultimate end goal, right? Stiff and stubborn doesn't work in the limbo, and it doesn't work in our walk before Almighty God. Limbo teaches us, if we're willing to contort our body in some painful places, even at times, that there is final victory in that motif, in that movement. And so limbo teaches us the lower we go, the higher we're exalted at the end. This is not only a valuable kid game, it's a valuable life lesson and a Lent lesson for us, which doesn't come naturally to any of us, right? It can be painful at points to go low. And that word in Scripture for going low is humility, okay? I'll stop talking in riddles for a moment. I'll start talking in Scriptures. The life of limbo in Scripture is called humility, and God seems to value it. He seems to raise us up as we're going low. The Scriptures declare it this way in James 4. Humble ourselves before the Lord, and He will lift us up. That's living the limbo, right? We bow low before God. He exalts us. He lifts us up. Yet again in the Scriptures itself, Matthew 23, the greatest among you will be your servant. Those who exalt themselves will be brought low, will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. God prizes the humble. Yet again in Proverbs 18, the downfall of a heart is haughtiness. That's pride. That's being puffed up. But humility comes before honor. And lastly, 1 Peter, all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and He may lift you up in due time. It's not always an instant transaction, right? It's not even always on this side of eternity. But in due time, He's lifting one up. We need to hear this word from Scriptures because we won't hear it from anywhere else. Sports Center isn't teaching you this. Corporate America isn't teaching you this. This is the revealed word of God that's giving the reality of how life works, but it's not the common chorus line that we're hearing in so many other sectors. And yet it's the line that is Lent and what it's about, to reflect, to repent, and to discover what God is up to this Lenten season, this 40-day lead-up. And so I want to show you a picture of a life that lived humility, a life that lived the limbo, that is inviting us into living that same limbo this Lenten season of 2021 together. And so the Scripture is Philippians 2. Just want to look through this to begin the service, and then we will get to that oddity of Christianity that reminds us of our mortality, but the offer of what God has given us through Jesus, of that repentance and believing the Gospels. Philippians 2, with humility in mind, says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourself. There's our word again, right? Humility, it's going to come up often in Philippians 2. Let me reread that one more time for you, though, because they're shocking words if we don't just, you know, blindfoldly go through this Scripture passage. It's shocking what God is telling us, inviting us, commanding us to go into. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourself. Don't be thinking self first, think others first. What is this? Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Who lives like this? There's one. There's one who's lived this limbo. He's going to get into it. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This is the way Jesus lived. He thought of others before He thought of Himself. He didn't ask Himself, what's going to be more fitting or beneficial for me? He thought, what's going to be more fitting or beneficial for Amy or for Kim or for Ruth? He was thinking of us rather than thinking of Himself when He left heaven and came to earth to die on the cross among us, this Lenten season that we're journeying and remembering together. Jesus was living the limbo. And it's going to go more into it about what Jesus gave up so that He could lift us up for eternity with Him. It goes on to say this: who, being in the very nature of God, he's speaking of Jesus here, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Theologians call this passage of Philippians 2 the kenosis passage. Kenosis is simply the Greek word that means he emptied himself. He set aside some privileges so that he could enter into our shoes. Kenosis, he emptied himself. And theologians love to argue, what exactly did Jesus give up when he came to earth to walk among us? He obviously, Wiggly's, didn't give up his deity, right? Because just last Sunday, we learned in Wiggly worship that Jesus calmed the sea, calmed the storm. That's not something natural that we can do as humans, right? But the maker of the seas can speak to the seas and they listen to his voice. And so Jesus obviously didn't give up his deity when he came among us, but he did give up plenty of things of privilege and status when he walked among us. For example, he gave up his seat. Jesus gave up the throne of the universe to be laid in a manger that Christmas. He gave up some splendor and majesty, right? The glow of deity in heaven when he took dust and dirt on his feet and grime beneath his fingernails and splinters in his hands as the son of a carpenter. He gave up some of those things for you and me. And most of all, that Philippians gets at what he gave up was the maker of life gave up his life when he died on the cross for you and me. This is what we're remembering this Lent. What Jesus gave up, the humble track he went. I had a professor in seminary years ago when we lived down in Kentucky. He called Philippians 2 the V-shaped passage because it records all that Jesus gave up when he went from heaven to earth, that downward spike of the V. But there's an upward spike that the Father bestows upon him as a result of that walk of humility, as a result of living the limbo, contorting himself for your sake to go low, he's been exalted high. And this is that upward shape of the V. In verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's the word of God, and it's the story of our lives. The V-shaped curve, the life of the limbo that Jesus walked to exalt us then to an eternity with him. I just want to drop three things as we begin this Lenten journey together that I think postures us in a place of humility to uncover the exaltation of what God wants to do when we live a life of bowed knee before him. So let me just suggest three things I think will help us enter into Lent all the more fully in 2020. That'll go beyond just rubbing ashes on our heads and then washing it off a moment later, but we'll actually etch something into our lives, into our very souls, and what it means to walk with God. Three things that I think will just go a long way towards that. And we're just going to race through them briefly, but one of those, plucked from Philippians 2, is that Lent is a season where we're invited to test the motives. We call Lent a season of repentance and reflection. That is, that we look deeply in the mirror. And not to see what's on our face, but to see what's on our soul. That's what we're getting at with testing the motives. What's God seeing at the soul level of things? Philippians 2 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. God, am I doing some things to promote self? God, am I doing some things because I love me, myself, and I, not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That's what we're invited to ask ourselves and to look deeply into in Lent. Am I doing this for self-gain or for God's glory? Lent is a season where we're called to put self on check and be reminded the universe isn't about you. It revolves around the Maker. Not me, myself, and I, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so here's a prayer that I invite you to jot down here, okay? Just jot down the reference. You don't have to jot down this whole slide, but jot down Psalm 139, 23 through 24, and make this a prayer these 40 days of Lent. Because it's an eye-opening prayer where we're inviting God into the soul level of our experience. It's this: search me, O God, know my heart. In Lent, we're asking God through reflection, search me and know what's going on in the inside of me, not just the outer externals that I show to everyone else. God, what's really going on in here? Search me. Try me. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out in me anything that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That's a dangerous prayer. God, point out in me anything that offends you and then correct that behavior. Lead me on the pathway that leads to everlasting life, not a death and destruction of my life. That's a dangerous prayer. But it's those kinds of prayers that make up not only Lent, but this pursuit of following Jesus, from the inside out of following Jesus. So point one, test the motives. Point two, to make Lent a lifestyle habit, not just something we rub on our foreheads, is this. We got to get outside of self and serve others. God actually says what life is about, what's summed up, is love God and love people. Love God and love people. We got to get to the people element here. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. What do you want to be known for in life? What do you want to be known for in life? The person who had all the things your way, or the person who made a difference and made a ripple effect in the lives of others? Because I can assure you, those that were just thinking about themselves have lonely funerals. The preacher's the only other one that shows up there of the differences that are made in others. But those that have a life that was serving others, making an impact on others, those are the full places. Because their life has touched so many other lives, because they weren't looking at life as if they were the center of life, but looking away to serve others in that life. What would it look like to genuinely value others? Not value others because what they add to your life, but valuing others because you see the value in the other. Not for what they can give you, not for what they mean to you, but because they're valuable because they're made in the image of God. What would it look like just to see the meaning and value in others and then to enter into that by doing to others something that you would like done to you? That's what service at the heart of it is about, and that's what helps us live the limbo, getting outside of self and in the shoes of others that Jesus did for us. So we have reflection, we have service, and then thirdly, we get empty. And what often is spoken in the words of get empty around Lenten is that fasting. The talk is giving up sweets, right? Or giving up social media, or giving up something in life. That spiritual discipline behind that giving up in the Bible is called fasting. And it's a saying no to self so that we can say yes to God. We're giving up something intentionally, so intentionally in that giving up, it's directing our attention back on God himself. That's what we mean by getting empty. How do we get outside of self so that we're filling up in God? And that's what Jesus walked for us. Verse 7, he made himself nothing. Greek word kenosis. He emptied himself by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So what is something that you are willing to give up this Lenten season because he gave up everything for you? That's the motive behind why we give something up in Lent. It's not so we can talk about it with friends, or I gave up this, what did you give up in that kind of way. Don't go there. Don't go those places. A true fast is between you and God himself. But what is it, something that we could give up for the sake of reminding ourselves of all he gave up for us, all he emptied of himself to us? That's the practice of fasting that we're invited into this Lenten season together. A season of repentance, reflection, and pursuit of Jesus together. These three points, I think, help us live that life of the limbo, of reminding who we are and what he is up to through this season.